Yeah, I mean, I think I knew that just from the time that he, you know. Like, when, I think when we drafted him, he was like, I wish the Patriots drafted me. And I said, well, that's, that didn't happen. You know, we, the Titans drafted you.
That's great.
Hey, there's value in that too, man.
Yep.
You're drafting a guy that wanted to come here, you know, from the very beginning. There's, to me, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, oh, did you overpay? Yeah, sure. You know, but it wasn't an obscene overpay. And you're getting a guy that's always wanted to play for your franchise. The linebacker from the Rams got traded to the Browns in that Myles Garrett trade.
Yeah,
curse. He's not happy. He got traded. The last place he wants to be is in Cleveland right now.
Oh sure,
nice in Cleveland this time of year is perfect.
Please.
Right by the lake.
No, thank you.
But whenever you make trades, I would want to know that that player has no problem coming to my team before I make a trade for him.
Absolutely.
Now, Ted, did you hear the great question yesterday by a Mass Live reporter of what about when the magic subsides and
the magic of being a Patriot?
The magic of being a Patriot wears off. Then what? Then what are you? What's going to make you happy?
I just love that. When the magic of being a Patriot wears off. Yeah,
that's how it was phrased.
Yeah.
It was great. It made me laugh. All right, we have to talk about this.
Being a Patriot wears off.
When the magic of being a Patriot wears off, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson, and it's 93.7 WEEI. We're down at Fenway Park right now in the Fenway Park Clubhouse Studio. Ford, brought to you by Ford, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay. The official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. We do have to mention this because earlier in the show, we were talking about Theo Epstein, and Theo Epstein had made a comment in that article. He actually didn't make it for the article. He was on a podcast recently, and I forget the name of it.
It's Foul Territory, and Carl Ravage, I think, was the host.
Okay.
Like the Dugout Dirt podcast or something like that. Too many podcast names these days.
Way too many.
And there was a great comment that he made that I actually asked Chad Tracy about, and it was essentially a criticism of Craig Breslow and the way that he did things. He said that basically he was saying that there's been too much reliance on analytics and not as much on the people. And really, and the quote was, what really makes a person tick as a player has become a lost art.
That's insane to me. Like, I don't think he meant to like target Breslow. Maybe he did. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for him, but that to me is like, it's a lost art speaking to humans.
Yeah.
One human talking to another human is a lost art.
Well, I said this yesterday, Ted, is that I believe it's because these people who run teams have become lazy. They are not putting in the work. They've become over-reliant on AI and computers and statistics that are shot out at them. True. It's an algorithm. And that article said it perfectly. They're like, in their algorithm, it was like you couldn't get a player that's over the age of 30 that can only play one position, that can't play more than one position. And Kyle Schwarber is one of those guys, and they missed out on him because of that, because they rely on a computer, and they instead, a normal person, someone who puts in the work, gets to know the player and be like, man, Schwarber's the exact kind of guy that we need right now.
Yeah, that's like looking at it, you know, beyond the data. The data doesn't tell you how what a veteran can impact guy can have on a younger guy. Or just what his accomplishments can mean to other guys and how he can raise just the ceiling of other players. Tom Brady didn't play defense. He made us a better defense. If you understand the psychology and emotions of athletes, you can tap into that and use the data also to help you. But you need to understand how athletes and human beings think when you're putting a roster together.
So that's a pretty great quote, and it was a fairly damning quote. And we were sitting here saying, you know what? It'd be cool if we talked to Theo Epstein. And I was like, you know what? We have a brand new intern. His name is Noah. He just started here. And I got to be honest, you know, it's not just the radio industry. It's not just broadcasting. It's almost any industry. If you want to get into a company, one of the best ways to do it, and truly one of the only ways to do it nowadays, is you got to intern. Mm-hmm. Because almost all these companies now hire from within. And so that's whenever I see like an intern come in, I don't want them to be a face in the hallway. I want to actually see what they can do. So I threw this challenge out to our own Noah. Noah, is your mic work over there? Okay. I said, Noah, if you by 5:30 can get Theo Epstein on the phone with us, I'm going to get you a steak dinner at Grill 23. I'm going to get you a gift certificate. And Noah, unlike, you know, some other people, not anyone in particular, but sometimes, you know, you would have an intern that just go like, oh yeah, I wouldn't even take it seriously. Noah's over there, and I watched him in the corner, kind of the corner of the room here. He was making phone calls. He was doing all this stuff. And Noah, what did you just tell us last break?
I was able to get his number. I sent him a text politely asking if he'd call into the show. He politely declined.
Okay. How about that? You were right on a hold.
Good job, buddy.
Theo Epstein.
Good job.
How great is that? Like, it took
him. Got him the text back.
It took him an hour and a half to not only track down Theo Epstein, but to get his phone number and to get a nice off the record text back that was just, it was very polite. But you know, he got back to him and said that, you know, I would definitely talk to you guys, you know, at some point, but right now just doesn't seem to be the time. And how about that? Because it's just putting the work.
I'm impressed.
You are going to have a long career if this is what you choose. That was awesome.
He'll impress Will Fleming. He's sitting beside Will tonight in the booth. He's tonight's booth instant intern. So
okay.
You show him the text. Represent, that's instant cred.
Oh, is Coop going to be there?
No, we got Lenny DiNardo tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Cooper's not gonna
maybe
be
not
okay,
Grill 23, Rich, but I think he at least deserves the nines.
We're
on it, buddy.
We're on it. As a matter of fact, let's see if we can get 110 Grill. Can we do like
a 110 Grill?
There's a great restaurant called the 110 Grill. We're going to get you a gift certificate to that, all right?
Appreciate it.
Okay, that was badass. And you know what? As I said, Noah, anytime you feel you want to do something and surprise us for the show, we'll take it. Absolutely. I love that stuff.
The word is initiative.
Yes.
You got any initiative, you're going to stand out amongst all the other.
Well, this guy came in from the West Coast. He knows nobody in Boston. He's subleasing a room in Alston. He like walks to the station without transportation. So Noah's a killer.
Noah, were you raised over here, like around here?
No, Seattle.
Okay, so how did you find this gig?
LinkedIn. I applied for like over 100 internships this summer.
Badass. And you ended up getting, and you said, I don't care if it's in Boston, I'm coming out to Boston by myself.
They were all over the country and got this one.
All right. Hey, man. Awesome. Okay.
Good. Right there.
What have you learned so far from working at the station? What have you learned about each one of us?
Everyone's great. Great to work with.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Some of us can be.
It's very entertaining. I will say that.
He told me your Vegas story was way too long.
At least he didn't pivot.
He loves my pivots.
Tell me something we don't know about Ken. What do you like about Ken over here?
So far, he has showed me the ropes very well, and he's doing a great job.
Thank you.
He's a good rapper.
Yeah.
I love the rapping.
He's a decent rapper. How about Teddy J? What have you learned about Ted so far?
He won 3 Super Bowls.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
How did you know that?
All you need to know. He gets reminded of that every day.
And
all
Rich, right. And Rich, you tell me, what about being a psycho? What was the code you used?
Nothing.
Okay, I'll take any kind of, listen, it's only true. All right, well, great stuff, Noah. That was awesome. Yeah. That was very impressive. All right, 617-779-7937. It was interesting because, as I said, to me, it was a done deal. If you would have asked me yesterday whether or not the Patriots are going to set the market with Christian Gonzalez, I would have said absolutely. I saw what happened at that celebrity softball game. He's palling around with everyone. Everyone seems to love him there. He's in a good mood. Even Vrabel, I'm sorry, it wasn't Vrabel. It was Elliot Wolf, who in that interview said something along the lines of this being a priority.
Yeah, Elliot Wolf to the Yahoo Sports. Yep, priority.
Yeah, getting things done. But then Ted, who I think was on my side a couple of days ago, all of a sudden has done the Ken Laird pivot and has gone in a completely different direction, right?
I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I just, man, when's the last time the Patriots have done a contract 2 years before they needed to with a first-round draft pick? And they haven't done a second contract at all, let alone a 2 years before they needed to since Dante Hightower. Dante was their first-rounder in 2012. They re-signed him to an extension a year before it was up in 2017. And those were the two contracts that he played on. But that was in 2017. So every other first rounder that came after Dante signed in 2013 and after never got a extension, let alone a second contract. So this isn't what they do. I mean, my guess is that when the new CBA was renegotiated back in 2011, they made that fifth year that for anybody drafted in the first round, they could do a fifth year option on them.
Yeah.
That was the new rule, so that it protected teams against what they're about to face here with, I think, Christian Gonzalez. So they get them a little bit longer, and I just don't think the Patriots want to break the bank with Christian Gonzalez.
Well, you say it's not what they do, but is it? It's not what Belichick did.
Belichick and Kraft were very much in line in how they spent money. They loved the fact that they won. Part of what they don't want to say this, but what they love is that they won Super Bowls with spending the least amount of cash over their time that they won. So think about that. They spent the least amount of cash for their players and won all those Super Bowls.
They also had a unicorn. They also had a unicorn that made it that so they could do that.
That's very true. And they might think they have their second coming of a unicorn with Drake May. And if they can afford to play hardball with players because they got, I think, a special player at quarterback.
Ooh, that is a dangerous game.
Oh, so you think they might go that route? Like, you need the Patriots discount. I guess my question is there a football reason? Like, is corner less important now than when Ty Law was on your team?
You know what? There's some truth to that. Yeah, I think so. I think teams are playing less man-to-man than they have. I don't think that is as, you know, the edge rusher. If you have a dominant edge rusher, then you don't have to maybe pay a cornerback as much because you get pressure without having to blitz. When you have an elite corner like you have in Christian Gonzalez, you can afford to blitz more. So that you can't do that if you can't get a pass rush, you have to blitz more, puts more stress on the secondary. So the Patriots right now don't have a dominant pass rusher. So they need Christian Gonzalez on this team. This isn't a team that is better defense without him. You saw the numbers DVOA-wise when he was injured versus when he was on the field. They're night and day. He makes it and they can, get it out of the way. Maybe can you get two first-round draft picks? Would it change your mind if I said they think they can get two first-round draft picks?
That does help. And that was the thing that made me kind of start leaning your way, is that if it's two first-rounders and they can make a move for Kayvon Thibodeau to at least help with the defense, I might be 100% on your side. Like, if you can get ourselves a real edge rusher here.
Especially after the season, and then you can draft a corner in next year's draft high to replace him right away.
Here's the thing. Do you think Christian Gonzalez will show up for any practices when he does without having a new deal?
Nope.
Hold in. Not. I think he shows up but doesn't practice.
Okay. And you saw how that's gone in the past. I mean, we've had who was the edge rusher from that went to Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, from the Ravens.
You know, that he
Belichick.
He did a hold in. That was under Mayo, and it was awkward.
Well, that was under Mayo. Yeah, you're right.
You know, so I don't know. I just don't think Kristen's going to. Yeah, Matthew Judon. Thank you. I don't think he's going to blink. And so the Patriots haven't done a deal like this in forever.
Yeah.
So I don't feel confident they're gonna do it this time.
Well, it is an absolutely beautiful day down here at Fenway, and Chad Tracy, not a very good ending last night. This has been a very strange stretch here at Fenway Park. They have yet to win double digit games. We will talk to Chad Tracy. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back with the interim manager of your Boston Red Sox.